What's up, everybody? Welcome to a Wednesday edition of Texans All Access. I'm your host, John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter. We are going to have a little bit later in the show, in the lab, full seven-round mock draft that Drew Doherty and I did. It's going to be fantastic. We made a few trades. We ended up bolstering the roster now and into the future. We drafted a couple of Seminoles. We'll get into that a little bit later, but joining me right at the top, the voice of the Texans, Mark Vandermeer. Mark, good evening. How are you doing?
Johnny, good evening. I'm doing great, and I can't wait for the draft because it's always so much fun. And you, Andre, and I are going to do the first round from this studio, from the Hyundai Texans Radio Studio at NRG Stadium. And the draft party Friday night at Avenida. Is that the full name for it? Downtown, you know.
Avenida right in front of Houston, I think, is how it's.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
I think.
George R. Brown right in front of that. Discovery Green right there, sandwiched in between, and we'll be doing the show. I wasn't at the watch party last year for the playoff game against Baltimore, neither were you, because I know where you were. We were at Baltimore.
Yeah.
But I understand it was a great setup, and it's going to be a similar setup, somewhat similar, as we broadcast from there for Friday night, and Seth Payne will be along for the ride, along with Robert Hensley for the Friday night coverage. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday, back in here in the Hyundai Texans Radio Studio with Sean Pendergast, and we'll just let it rip, man. We'll have some fun.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Obviously, yours truly does a lot of talking during that time, and that's fine.
Yeah, you do.
I'm okay
you
with that.
You do 16 hours of draft coverage. I always brag on you. Johnny brag.
I appreciate it.
And it's amazing to see what you can do and hear what you can do during that time. I mean, people have to be listening. It's required listening as the picks unfold. And it's not just our picks. It's everybody else's, because you want to see what everybody else is getting and if they're getting better or not through the draft. And, of course, it's a lot more. There's a lot more involved than just that. But we love following this stuff.
Yeah, there's no question. Before we get into what we are going to talk about, I want to, because we'll see where this takes us.
You want to talk about the women's basketball ratings?
No. Mm-mm-mm.
You want to talk about the fact that I'm watching Apple TV almost exclusively now? I finished Silo, and I did Slow Horses, and now I'm going to move on to, what is the one? There's another one with Colin Farrell. I forgot the name of that.
Oh, yeah,
Sugar. Yeah, I might do that one next.
Have you finished The Dynasty?
I have not finished The Dynasty. That's right. I'm watching that one, too. And I just saw a Paul Simon documentary, and I didn't even know what platform
Apple TV has some good stuff, I will say.
Yeah.
But no, none of that.
We're not going to talk about that.
None of that.
Okay.
I want to ask you about something that I think Aaron Wilson had put out there of a particular player that was here for a 30 visit, I guess yesterday, maybe the day before yesterday, whatever. Spencer Rattler, quarterback, South Carolina, here for a 30 visit. What's your gut reaction to that?
Oh, my goodness.
Really? Is that your good reaction?
Here's the deal. This is really intriguing.
Yeah.
Let's just go down this road for a moment.
For a second. Let's do it.
Anybody you have as a backup quarterback, there are two ways of looking at it. Solid, steady, established veteran with a lot of starting experience. And I will classify Davis Mills as a pretty decent chunk of starting experience, right? 25 mm-hmm. starts in his career. Played a bit last year to finish up, what game was that? Cleveland,
yep.
Mm-hmm. We all know Case Keenum got the start in Nashville and played the follow-up game against Cleveland before mm-hmm. he was relieved by Mills. You could also say, if you draft a player like Rattler, and I'm not saying they will, because how long does Rattler last?
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
I don't blame a lot of teams for kicking the tires, at the very least, on Spencer Rattler. There's a ton of talent there. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. There's a ton of talent there. If he harnesses it and handles his professional life well, he could really make a difference. He could be something in this league. You want to talk about upside. He's got it. Now, the floor is pretty low, too, probably, based on, it didn't work out at Oklahoma, as we all know. It went better at South Carolina, mm-hmm. but he's not a first-round projected player. Wow. I'm talking myself. It's funny, because I didn't know that. I didn't know that he was here for that visit.
I wish I would have seen him, but I mean,
me
I
too.
Would. If I had seen him, I would have reported. But it was reported. It's out there that he visited. He is such an intriguing player. I started following him when he... Even before I found out that he was going to be on the QB1 series way, way back when he was in high school.
Yeah.
So I started at that point, started researching him and looking at him and watching him at Elite 11. I'm like, holy cow, he makes every throw. Now, he was a cocky, confident son of a buck in high school. I mean, bordering on, he was kind of tough to be around, but he was competitive. And then at the end of his senior year, something happened. Nobody has ever divulged what happened. He was suspended for the rest of the season with like two or three games left in the season. They ended up missing out on the playoffs and all that because of it. And nobody has ever really, you know, recounted that. Then he goes to Oklahoma. And he ends up starting, has a really good, you know, year in COVID, 2020, 2021. He gets replaced by Caleb. He went to South Carolina. I actually think he grew up a lot in South Carolina. This past year, he had no offensive line, none. And he somehow survived and thrived in it. Went to the Senior Bowl. And I thought it's not the Will Levis experience, but there are times where you watch Rattler and you're like, man, he can make every throw. He's proven he can make every throw. See, I don't think Levis has proven he can make every throw. Rattler has proven he can make every throw. But then he'll make that throw, and you're like, God dang it. What did you see? But he, when you watch him throw the football, you're like,
when he's on,
yo.
Well, let's go back.
He's
on. Let's go back to 2020, because going into 2021, he was thought to be the projected number one overall pick, or at least the first quarterback selected.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
It obviously didn't go well. He got benched, and the rest is history. What is the best team for him? Let's never mind if the Texans need him or want him. What would be the best situation for Spencer Rattler? Because I think this is a pretty good spot for him,
so too.
Should they decide to do that.
Yep.
Now, that means, look, you currently have four quarterbacks on the roster. They're not going to have five, okay?
Right.
So there's going to be some movement if you drafted Spencer Rattler anywhere. But what would be the best situation for him? I think a situation where you have an established starter, somebody he could learn from, great system that fits his talents, where he could learn and develop and grow. Look, what did the Patriots do all those years?
Yeah.
All those years.
All those years.
You know, you mentioned it, the Dynasty series. Mm-hmm. They made a big deal out of the drafting of Jimmy Garoppolo. And I get it that it fit the narrative. But they drafted Ryan Mallett in the third round.
How about they drafted
quarterback after? They drafted Jacoby Brissett. Where? Third round?
So get this. So Brady was drafted in 2000. So I got to thinking about that. And so I pulled up the Patriots draft history. Check this out. While he was a starter, 2002, they drafted Rohan Davey from LSU. 2003, they drafted Cliff Kingsbury. 2005, they drafted Matt Castle. 2008, they drafted Kevin O'Connell. 2009,
what about Brian Hoyer? Was he undrafted?
He was undrafted.
Okay,
2010, they drafted Zach Robinson from Oklahoma State.
Wow.
2011, third round, they took Ryan Mallett. 2000... what year was Brissett? Garoppolo was 14.
16 was Brissett.
Brissett was 16 because I remember seeing him at Senior Bowl. He was a third round. That's what Tom Brady's quarterback.
Yeah.
That's what the Patriots did all the way around.
Yeah, they made a big deal out of the Garoppolo acquisition.
Yeah.
But they've been drafting quarterbacks forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not just because, you need Brady's replacement, but you want to develop a guy just in case Brady fades, gets injured, whatever. Did they need Matt Castle? Yes, they did. They won 11 games that season, did not make the playoffs, but they won 11 games that season when Brady was suspended. Garoppolo's playing well, but even he gets hurt and they have to go to Brissett, who beat the Texans on a Thursday night game 27-0, and I'll never forget it. And ouch! But I would not put it past the Texans to think, well, we can upgrade the backup quarterback position. Now, I don't know if that does it. I'm not saying it does, but a reported visit with a quarterback who, it's not like he's projected to be a first rounder, but he's not projected to be a seventh rounder either.
Right.
It's interesting.
He's all over the map from a projection standpoint.
I'm sure.
I've got him at number 60 in my Harris 100 because
wow,
the things that I wanted to see from Spencer Rattler over the last couple of years, I didn't want to see anything on the field other than, you know, rein some of that in, you know, but he can make every throw. Like, we've known he can make every throw.
Yeah.
But how mature is he? Has he grown up and gone beyond some of that other, you know, kind of junk that followed him in high school? How, you know, what kind of professional do you think you're going to get? I watched him pretty closely at the Senior Bowl just to kind of see how he would handle, you know, coaching and hard coaching. Like, he threw a pick at the Senior Bowl, and I thought, and I watched him after that, like, okay, what's his response to this? And as the interception's happening, the guy runs out of bounds opposite, he kind of jogs over to where his quarterback coach is, and he's kind of talking. I could see his hands moving. and he was kind of describing what was happening on the play. And then the coach was kind of like nodding his head, like, you know, pointing him at, yeah, and he's kind of motioning, and I'm kind of watching Spencer. It was just a really good interaction of a guy that, okay, he made a mistake. He knew he made a mistake, but he came over to get coached, got coached up on it, and I didn't see him make that mistake again. And I think that's the most important thing. And how many times do we hear both D'Amico and Nick talk to us about C.J. Stroud? Like, what stands out to you about C.J.? He doesn't make the same mistake twice. And I think that's pretty impressive. So there are a lot of people out there. I know Texans fans have been probably watching, you know, YouTubes of Xavier Leggett, who's incredible. Well, who's throwing the football? That was yeah. Spencer Rattler. And so you get a good look at him. So I'm never opposed. You know, as I was doing my draft guide and I get to the Texans, I'm thinking, I kind of rate the priority for each of the positions. And I got the quarterback, and I don't think it's ever going to be zero, but I think it's low. But I did put some quarterbacks that they, you know, could possibly look at. Now, Rattler wasn't one of them because I feel like Rattler is going to be gone. In my estimation, I think Rattler is a day two quarterback. He's going to be, after the rush of those first four, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, then I think the next duo is Penix and Nix.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the next quarterback is Rattler.
Okay.
So
seven.
Yeah. So where does that fall? I think there's going to be some team in the third round. And so earlier today, I was down in the studio and I look up and it's, I don't know, Get Up or whatever that show is. And it says that the Cowboys could be a sleeper team looking for a quarterback. Well, the Cowboys have so many needs. They have a ton. I mean, they have so many needs.
Yeah. And they just acquired Trey Lance prior to, when was it, last year?
Right. But then I got to thinking about what's a good spot for Spencer Rattler. To your point, an established quarterback, good quarterbacks coach, good offensive scheme. I don't know if Dallas is all of those. I feel like here is all of those.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know that I want to. I think he'll be gone. I don't want to spend pick 86 on quarterback. But if one of those two fourth rounders ended up being a quarterback that you felt good in, had some elite traits, and that's what you're kind of looking for, what's an elite trait? Well, for Spencer Rattler, it's arm talent. There's no question that dude can absolutely sling it. But do I want to do that before – I want to do that with pick 86? I don't think so. I don't think I want to do it. But, I mean, 2014, what did the Patriots do? They drafted Garoppolo, pick 65. I think the top of the third round. They went ahead and went with Garoppolo, or maybe back in the second round. Either way, it was pretty early that they went and got Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, it ended up causing some consternation for Tom Brady. Who knows? Maybe it put a burr up his saddle. He ended up winning three Super Bowls in the next 6 years or 5 years or whatever it was.
Yeah, so, because that was the highest they ever drafted.
That was the highest they ever drafted quarterback.
Even though they had the two third rounders. Well, Brissett was after.
Yeah.
How about that? They have Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm. And then they
in
get
2016.
Brissett.
And they get Brissett in the third round.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk to Nick about that. Why did you do that?
Yeah.
Because Garoppolo's going into year three, and you go ahead and take Brissett in the third round. Now, they needed Brissett. Did they eventually trade him for –
where did he
– he went to the Colts. For our buddy who played receiver for them, the kid from Miami. Who am I forgetting?
Oh, Philip Dorsett. Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And it kind of worked out for both. I mean –
didn't he catch a big pass in that 2017 game?
Who,
or was
Phillip?
It? No, it was the 18 game.
It was 18 game.
Yeah.
It was 18 game. And then in the AFC Championship, Phillip ended up making a great catch for a touchdown.
Yeah.
I always loved Phillip. And he was great. He was great to have around here. I wish he would have stuck for a little bit longer. I always liked having him around. But the quarterback, you know, going out and drafting a quarterback, it's not something that's really been on our radar screen. And then when I saw that, I thought, huh, that's interesting. And of all the players, the thing about it is I look at all these other quarterbacks and I feel like of all the other quarterbacks beyond Nix and Penix kind of going on to tier three, the Sam Hartmans, the Joe Milton, Devin Leary, all those other guys kind of beyond those top six guys, I think Rattler would be the guy that I would want the most. He's got the most arm talent and he moves well enough that this offense would suit him pretty well. No, you're not going to design runs for him, but he's like CJ in a sense. Like, if you need 5 yards and he's got to scramble and get it, he can go get it. He's kind of the same way. But, man, those two guys can make throws, CJ and Rattler, that other guys just can't make. So I'd be really interested in how they go about it. I just love the fact for Rattler that he has gone from being, I don't know, as Mark Schlereth called a certain Texan a turd. I think Spencer was thought to be that way in high school, to go from that to where he is now and really kind of see a humble young man kind of growing up and maturing, I don't know. That's pretty intriguing to me. So I don't know. I don't want to do to pick 86, and I think that's when you'd have to do it.
Yeah, you might have to do it there, and I don't think they're going to do it there. I don't think they would reach there.
I don't think so.
I don't think they're done with Davis Mills, seeing what his ceiling is. With the playing time he is going to get in the preseason,
yeah,
training camp, those reps.
One of the things that stands out, though, when I think about thinking about the Garoppolo and Brissett thing, Garoppolo, you said, was in year three, right? That would have been
2016.
So year three. So Brissett is then brought in with the thought that, hey, Garoppolo either takes over as the starter because Brady retires and we're going to need a quality backup.
Or Garoppolo just leaves.
Garoppolo's gone after year
and
four.
We have a seasoned backup.
Right, and we've had a guy that's been in our system a couple years where we feel comfortable as being a backup. And that, I'm not opposed to that because Davis is going into his fourth year.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a thought that after year four, okay, he, you know, might move on.
You know, it's a great point. I think with the Patriots example, it's a good one because they did go through it with the injury to Brady.
Yep.
So they lived through an entire season without him, did well, and they probably say later, listen, we need a Matt Castle. We need a backup quarterback who's going to play that well for us if we need him to. Let's have that insurance policy. So I don't know how the Texans feel about the insurance policy they have right now at quarterback, but maybe they're looking to fortify that or whatever, or maybe they just want to talk to him.
I mean, and that's the other part, Mark. You bring up a great point. There have been plenty of times for 30 visits – I've seen guys, and like, there's no way that guy's getting to the Texans. But you do some reconnaissance now because you never know what it might turn into 4 or 5 years down the road. You don't know what, you know, guy ends up being a free agent and you met him and talked to him in that draft process.
Yep.
And you're like, I like that guy. Let's keep an eye on him. I like that guy. And you bring him in. You know, these 30 visits look, you only get, what, the Texans have 9 draft picks. Probably they'll make 8, maybe 7. So they're obviously not going to draft everybody from those. They may draft nobody from these 30 visits. Nobody. They may draft no one. I don't anticipate that. I think at least one or two.
I want to know how many 30 visits they've had of players they interviewed at the combine.
Right.
What's the overlap? Is there any? Or do they feel like we know them? Let's bring in more guys that we didn't get a chance to meet.
It feels like the past couple of years, the history has been at the combine and in a 30. Like Will was at the combine at 30 visit.
Both.
Both. CJ was a combine and 30 visit. Both.
Okay.
So I don't know. I mean,
I want to ask Nick this.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I'm running down questions to ask Nick.
Let's run down Nick. Now, what will the Texans do in this draft? Well, Drew Doherty and I did a mock draft with trades. We discuss it all. If you want to see it, go to YouTube. You can check it out and see all that happened. But you'll hear it next right here on Texans All Access. Welcome back to Wednesday edition of Texans All Access. I'm your host, John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter. It's time for, well, a draft Wednesday edition of Texans All Access because it's time for In the Lab to Get Busy, myself and Drew Doherty. And when it's April, it's time for mock drafts. Well, that's what Drew and I did for our In the Lab. Now, the video is going to be good to see because we actually put the mock draft up on the screen so you can see it, but it's still great to talk about. And we did a full 7-round mock. We had 2 trades. And we ended up not picking him until pick number 59. Now, I don't know if that's how it will go in a draft, but that's how it went for us because our mock draft simulator ended up giving us some good trades to consider. So here we go. Buckle up. In the Lab, 7-round mock starts now.
The Texans have Stephon Diggs. We've seen already the videos of Stephon and C.J. Stroud working out. Looks like L.A. I'm guessing UCLA.
Yeah, it's UCLA.
Some sort of connection there, but
yep.
They're wasting little time, which is something we've seen from CJ Stroud from the moment he became a Texan. He was already throwing to Dalton Schultz and Robert Woods and a lot of those receivers last year here and there and around the country. That's what good quarterbacks do. We've seen it here before with other quarterbacks doing that type of thing. So that's encouraging. That's exciting. I'm pumped. I can't wait to see what that does, but there is no doubt that the Stephon Diggs trade and a lot of the stuff that the Texans have done in free agency has an impact on what they're going to do in the draft. Now, it doesn't mean they're not going to take a wide receiver. They might, because there might be a stud that has somehow fallen to them that they thought, well, that wasn't going to happen. And they might just go BPA, best player available. We'll see. Don't know. Don't know that happens, but that's always in play. So because of that, you and I must fire up a mock draft simulator. Sound good?
Sounds great. Let's go.
You want to do it? Let's do it. Let's okay. Do it. So we're going to do the share screen here thing on Zoom. Remember that, that old Zoom fun stuff that we used to do back in the COVID days? So we're going to share the screen. We're going to go to the mock draft simulator. Our pals over at Pro Football Network have the best one, we think, because they can do trades. We're doing all seven rounds. We got it going quickly. You see these dudes going off the board at 42nd overall. The Texans are going to have some options. So, but there's a trade. The Ravens want 42 and 123. And in exchange, they want to give you 62, 93, and a second next year.
Which is essentially a third next year because Baltimore will be pretty good. So that's kind of – it's more a third-round pick. But, you know, so be it. It's a top 64 pick.
But there's one more offer. What's behind
another offer? Let's see
door number two.
Offer. Let's go behind door number two.
42 and 189 for Miami's pick 55 this year and their second next year. Now, let's hide it because available – you've got a couple of offensive linemen. Tyler Newbin, a safety from Minnesota, is there. Another offensive lineman. Trey Benson, the Florida State running back. Adisa Isaac, a edge from Penn State. Troy Franklin, the receiver. Max Melton, the corner. And Ruka Rororo are just some of the names at the top of the list. Plus, you can keep going down, and there's some more names you see there. Mm-hmm. Leonard Taylor, Xavier Leggett, Edgerrin Cooper. I'm kind of intrigued by this Miami offer. What are you thinking, John?
Yeah, I mean, I go back to the Baltimore offer. I actually kind of like that Baltimore offer. I mean, I know I got to go down 20 spots, but that's going to give me 59, 62, 93. Now I've got to give up one of my fourths, but I get Baltimore's pick next year. I actually like both of them, Drew, to be honest. So you pick the Baltimore or the Miami. I like both. I like the fact that I get pick 93 as well. I like that pick near the bottom of the third round.
Because it'll give you four in the top 100.
Yeah, so basically I'm moving down 20 spots to pick up 30 spots in the third to pick up Baltimore second next year. So, you know, I mean, with Miami, I'm moving down 13 spots, but I pick up their second. That second's probably going to be better. You like the Miami deal. I kind of like the Miami deal the more I talk about. Let's take the Miami deal. Let's take that deal.
All right, here we go.
Right there. It's accepted.
So we're moving back. Now at 55, we're taking Miami's pick. But the Lions are offering you to move back six spots to 61, and they'll give you next year's third if you give up 55 and 188. And the Saints are offering two and a three next year and pick 150 for 55. I don't like that. But
okay.
But you also shed another late pick, not too late, but a top 200 pick.
I mean, you've got 188 and you got 189. So yeah. You can move down six spots. And we know the way that Nick Casario is going to look at this. You know, do we have players in that pod?
Yes, because you got Malachi Corley, the receiver, but you've also got Chris Jenkins. Yeah, I like
Kamari
that
Lassiter.
Defensive tackle. Kamari Lassiter, a corner. Yep. Leonard Taylor's a defensive tackle. Ruka Rororo is there. Ruka Rororo is probably going to be gone, but let's do it. You want to?
Yeah, let's take that Detroit offer. I like that. Yeah. Let's take that. Moving. Let's accept that.
Okay, here's another one. 59 and 247 to move back five for 64 and 131. That's the Chiefs. And then...
oh, my gosh.
A bunch of crap from the Vikings. I don't want to do that, do you?
No. I don't want any. I don't want that deal.
Let's pick. I'm kind of partial to Jenkins, but do you like Lassiter more, or do you like... Isaac, Taylor? I mean, what are you thinking, man?
You know, I'll tell you a couple of things. Number one with Isaac, just those first few. Patrick Paul, no, even though we went to the University of Houston. I think there are a lot of things that have to happen in his game, and I don't think the Texans are going to take an offensive tackle here. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. Leonard Taylor, it's interesting. You know, watching him throughout the year, you know, just watching games throughout the year, I thought, man, he's not as productive as I want him to be. But then went back and studied him closely, and I was like, man, he's got a lot to offer. Kamari Lassiter is a guy that I love from Georgia. Now, he's not fast. He's like 4.65, but on the field, he plays fast. And one of the things that I loved was against Missouri, I kept seeing him go inside. And I checked his snap count. He only played inside really one game, and that was against Missouri, who had one of the better receivers in the country in Luther Burden. So they were matching up Lassiter with Burden, and he handled that really, really well. So Jenkins, the son of Chris Jenkins, a stud athlete. You know, I love the linebackers on the board at this point. Peyton Wilson, Sid Gray.
We're picking in two. It's 59 right now that we're up, and then we're picking again at 61. So we've got
okay. But wait a second. Keep here. Going down. Number 67 is Braden Fiske.
Yes,
that's the guy. That's the draft pick right there.
Let's take him because
he's better than any of those defensive tackles that are ranked ahead of him. He's a great pick right there.
Dear Drew question submitted, like, why aren't we going to take the next J.J. Watt and Braden Fiske? And I said this last week. I was like, okay, hold on.
Okay.
But he does have some similarities. But, yeah, let's just chill. But he does have some similarities. So let's take Braden Powell. He's a Houston Texan.
Okay, a couple of things. Number one, Braden Fiske. Number two, he's not J.J. Watt.
Right.
I know the Western Michigan, Central Michigan thing. I know, like, when you see him, you see similarities. Now, he's an athletic marvel, but he is an interior player.
Yes.
J.J. was an inside-outside guy and completely different. J.J. was long-armed, a jungle cat, as you called him. Mm-hmm. Braden Fiske is not. He is short-armed, but he is power-packed. He's built, you know, like a brick bleep house. He's not J.J. Watt. Stop. Okay. All right. Next. Let's go.
Okay. So now we're picking at 61, but hold on, man. I like this offer from the Chiefs a lot. They want 61 and 238, which picks it after 200 are kind of like you hold them at arm's length like they're a piece of poo.
Except they'll give you, that's a good deal.
They'll give you 64 and 131. So you move up over 100 spots for that second one. Pow. Yeah, like Texans are taking that. So they're picking the last pick of the second round. They got another offer from the Vikings with like, three and a three. Okay. So still on the board is Leonard Taylor. Mm-hmm. You got.
And you just took Fiske. So let's keep that in mind. You took Fiske. And so Jenkins Taylor.
Peyton Wilson, the linebacker, is there.
I love Peyton Wilson. He would be a guy I would definitely think about because I do think he can play the mic at some point. And I know a lot of people talk about Edrin Cooper, you know, from Texas A&M. And I said, look, my comp for him is Christian Harris. They play kind of the same position. But if we're looking here, there are a couple of – obviously, you've gone defensive tackle. You know, the corners on the board. Last year went off the board at 62. That was the risk of moving down to 64 that I was worried about. Because now you're going to have this gap between corners. You see Chris Abrams drain there down the way. So the corner was kind of, there's Abrams drain. I'm not totally set on that. I like the running backs here. Jonathan Brooks, obviously University of Texas, but you don't know when he's going to get on the field because he's dealing with the ACL tear. Roman Wilson's a guy I would think a lot about. At this point, he was coached by Ben McDaniels at the University of Michigan, so they have, you know, inside knowledge, if you will. He compared himself to Tyler Lockett. I compared him to Will Fuller, so he's got that go-go speed. I just, at the end of the second round, I really wanted to get a corner, before I got out of the second round, because I feel like that's where, you know, the value is. But I don't really see that on the board. So at this point, the end of the second round, I think I might go Peyton Wilson because to me, he's the best player available.
All right. I'll do that. I like good linebackers. Chris Jenkins is off the board now. Okay. Picking at 186 and Green Bay is offering to move back two and to give you a fifth. I'm not really interested in a fifth rounder for next year. Are you?
I got my eyes on somebody on the board right now.
All right. Will Shipley is the highest rated player. Running back.
That's the guy.
Clemson.
That's the guy. And you know, I think Shipley, when you see him, you'll go, oh, he's not that fast. He's 4.39 in the 40. He's like a 39.5-inch vertical leap. He's got athleticism oozing out of his pores, and he won't really be asked to carry that offense like he was for the first few years. Now, he got some help from Phil Moffitt at Clemson this past year. But Shipley, to me, this pick is I know there's still, you know, a couple of corners. There's a corner I like, a couple of corners I like, and I like McKinley Jackson here at 86, but I just can't take the risk they're going to be gone. So, Drew, I'll leave it to you. You want to go corner do you think? And I think running backs will be there later. I think corners will be there later too, but I think a really good one is Renardo Green from out of Florida State. One of his biggest games was against Malik Nabers and LSU at the beginning of the year. He's a long, physical, man-press corner. I think Renardo Green would be a really nice pick at 86. And I feel like I can get a running back later. And I've also gone out and gotten Joe Mixon. So as much as Will Shipley, I like him, I feel like Renardo Green or McKinley Jackson. McKinley Jackson would give me some size, but Renardo Green would give me some length and some press man ability, physicalness, physicality on the outside. I feel good about Renardo Green from Florida State here.
Renardo Green it is. We'll go with Renardo Green. I'm cool with that.
Cool.
And the Texans are now dropping down in the fourth round at 1-2-3. They'll pick again at 1-2-7 and then again at 1-3-1. So they've got three picks coming up. Highest on the board is a guy named Delmar Glaze, a tackle from Maryland. You got another linebacker, Tyron Hopper, excuse me.
Hopper, yeah.
Makai Wingo, the local guy, Jalix Hunt. Dylan Lobby, a running back from New Hampshire. Jalen Wright, a running back from Tennessee. Hey, are you high on Brandon Coleman, offensive guard out of TCU?
And he played tackle at TCU. I'm not a huge fan of his. But I mean, for other teams, I could see it. I feel like if the Texans are going to go interior offensive line, they'll look at somebody that, I don't know, that has played inside. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if they did end up looking at Brandon Coleman. I'm just not a massive fan. I don't think he had a great 2023. Now, when he was with Steve Avila last year, 2023, when he was at tackle and Avila was at guard, they wrecked shop. But a lot of that was Avila. You saw that with the Rams. I'm tempted here. So our picks thus far have been Fisky from Florida State,
Peyton Wilson, the linebacker,
Renardo Green. So we had definitely hit the ACC for sure. But we've hit, two areas of need for sure. Linebacker, you can always use a player, especially a guy of Peyton Wilson's quality. There's no question about that. So running back, wide receiver, I think you could get all of that in one player in Lobby, but if we want to hit home runs, do we want to hit home runs, Drew? Want to hit home runs? Draft Jalen Wright from Tennessee.
Okay. You like him more than Ray Davis?
They're different. Ray Davis is a little bit more kind of grinder. Ray Davis, my cop to Ray Davis is Frank Gore. Body type, everything about Frank Gore it fits. Jalen Wright hits home runs. And I kind of feel like that's what this offense wants to do. And Jalen Wright is different from the two other backs you already have on the roster. Davis is going to be kind of similar to the other two. Jalen Wright's going to put some pressure on people because that joker can run, 10-4 and 100. He was a state track champion at Southern Durham High School in Durham, North Carolina, and he can absolutely jet.
Here we go.
Like to go Jalen Wright here in the fourth round.
How? We're picking Jalen Wright. Right now. We still have Hopper. You still have Wingo. Dylan Lobby still available. Jalen Ford, a linebacker out of Texas, is available. Cam Hart, Notre Dame corner, he's there. You just got an offer for a trade, 1-2-7 and a 7 next year for 132 and 176 from the Niners.
Yeah, let's do it and see what five. Let's do it. Let's accept it.
And you get rid of a 7th next year that you don't have to mess with.
Man, we've got two. We got two in a row, 131, 132.
Yep.
Okay, so we got two in a row here. So we are dominating the board.
Jared Wiley out of TCU, he's available, the tight end. That's somebody that I've pretty much picked in every single draft with one of these picks. He's enormous. He gets open, it looks like.
He's a really good athlete, moves very well. Jared Wiley would definitely be on the board for me.
We don't have to take him yet because we've got all these options. So we got the next two picks. Is there anybody else you want to select before him? Because you got him. We've not taken a receiver yet, but you got Jacob Cowing a little bit down the board at 142.
Yeah, he's a slot receiver. I know we've done some work on him for sure, and I still think there are going to be some receivers down the road. I got my eyes on receiver. Go down a little bit more, Drew.
Okay, Tyke Smith, a safety. Zach Zinter, guard from Michigan.
Keaton Oladapo from Oregon State is a really intriguing safety. Bingo, right there, Luke McCaffrey. Having him at 155 is a joke. He should be at least in the 110, 120 range. Luke McCaffrey will come in and impact this team right away. Luke McCaffrey, for sure. Yes.
Do you want to double up and take McCaffrey and Wiley?
Yeah, I think that's the two we should go with. Those two would be perfect. I don't care what order. Just
Okay, McCaffrey, and then pass. No, we don't
reject
yeah,
that.
We pass
no,
on
we,
that.
We know our guys. Let's go to
Wiley Papau.
There we go. All right, next pick 176.
It's coming up.
Okay, see what's on the board. Igbigbe.
And Gabe Hall.
Gabe
you
Hall.
Like
Baylor. Wait a second. Now. I like Gabe Hall. Now, I also like the kid from Northern Iowa. Now, he's got some size.
Christian Boyd's
a stud. He is a fizz boy. He torques people. In fact, I was just scouting him yesterday. It was his pro day yesterday. And so I had heard about and seen what he had done at the East West Shrine game. And I thought, man, I got to check him out. Just watch a couple of games of him. And I watched and thought, man, torque strength. Super compact. And then you look at him and go, man, he's not 6'4". He's 6'4". He's 6'4", 325. At least that's what he measured in his pro day. Moves extremely well. There are a few names I like at this spot. But I want to have somebody with some size inside. And Boyd is 325 pounds, but he's pretty athletic for his size. Strong. I'd like to go Boyd because I think Boyd with Fiske would be really nice. So let's go Boyd here.
I'm cool with that because you and I, we covered this either last week or the week before. The idea of going
Maybe
with
big.
two defensive tackles, one massive and then another mm-hmm. big enough, you know? And yep. so this kind of satisfies that idea.
Absolutely.
And we're taking Boyd. I like that.
All right. Now we're all the way to 247.
We've only got one pick left because we've done some trades. We've got a third from Detroit next year coming and a second from Miami next year. So that means you're going to have two twos and two threes.
You got the other two. Yep. You got it.
All right.
So first, your own first. Two twos and two threes.
Yep.
It's kind of nice.
All right. Lee, defensive tackle. I don't think we need to do that.
So before we look at the name, hold on, Drew. Before we look at the names, let's take a look at what we've done thus far.
D tackle, linebacker, corner, running back, wide receiver, tight end, another big D tackle. Haven't done a safety. Haven't done any O linemen.
Have one corner on the board. How about a guy that could play safety and corner? Is a
how
heck
about?
Of an athlete.
How about
Ryan Watts from out of Texas?
Yeah, is that
now,
the guy?
He played corner. Let's take a look at what we got on the list. But he played corner. I'll talk through it. He played corner last year. He's played some safety. He started Ohio State. He then went to Texas. He, athletically speaking, is off the board. I don't ultimately think he's a corner. I think he's a safety. And I think he could end up developing into a really good safety at some point.
He's
but
listed as
he's
a safety.
He's got athletic
here, yeah.
ability. I know. He's got athletic ability to play corner. And that might be something you want to do. Like, hey, let's play him at safety, but you know, maybe we drop him down into the nickel at times. He's good size. He can fly. He's got tremendous athletic score. I mean, his athletic profile is off the chart. So I'll leave the choice up to you. There's Ryan Watts. Let's go look at the list of players. Let's go up on the players a little bit. You know, Dylan Johnson's a guy like I watched him, but I don't think we need
games.
To go in that direction. Rasheen Ali, I really like at running back, but we've already addressed running back. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't put anybody on the edge because obviously, you know, we've gone on, got Danico Hunter, we've got Danico Autry.
Nelson Caesar from Houston's available, but he's not kind of like, he doesn't seem like very big, does he?
He's about 250 pounds. I'm a little disappointed from him this past season. There's a kicker from Arkansas, and we don't touch kickers from anywhere.
Jordan Stratton, he seems kind of
Jordan Strawn from out of South Carolina. I don't really want to go the edge. I mean, at this point, really, I think the best player available on the board that really kind of fits a position that Texas would be looking for would be Ryan Watts from out of Texas. And it satisfies, I would imagine, a lot of people's lottery tickets that are thinking they're going to draft a player from out of Texas. So let's draft a player from Texas.
And that's that, man. That's our draft. That's a 8-player draft with two more picks on the first 2 days coming back next year mm-hmm. in the two and the three. But you've added spots. You've added helpers, man. We talk about helpers in my household. Hey, can you be a helper and bring in the groceries? Hey, can you be a helper and pick that that wrapper from your lollipop off the floor that you threw on the floor, please?
Right. Can you be a helper and not beat the crap out of your sister? You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah,
that type
of
thing.
That
all
happens. Okay, so here's my question, Drew. Everybody looking at the 8 picks the Texans ended up making that we made for the Texans and obviously the additional picks that we have for next year. So like Drew said, for 2025, we have our first, We have 2 seconds, ours in Miami's. We have 2/3, ours in Detroit's. Now, those teams should be pretty good, so you don't know where they're going to fall. And hopefully the Texans are good. But either way, that's just ammunition in the top 100, if you will. Of those 8 players, now we didn't draft until 59.
Yeah.
And typically your starters are, you know, your first, second rounders, et cetera, et cetera. Of those 8, how many of them do you think we see starting at some point for the Texans, that's significant, not just a one-game start, but like, you know, 7 to 9 game starter of those 8. Do you think any of them, or do you think they're really just going to bolster the players and the depth on the roster already?
Are you saying as rookies?
Yeah, as rookies.
I think
down the road, I could see a few of these guys being starters for sure.
I think Fisky would get in there as a rookie. Yeah. And I think, I think Wiley would be a guy that you could see in 2 tight end sets and maybe even 3 tight end sets if that's what they want to rock coming out early. What about you?
I think the 2 Florida State guys have a chance. I mean, Fisky. I think Fisky could have a chance to start right away and be a regular starter.
You think Green could handle
on playing this? And I think Green could end up being a guy that works his way. And, you know, he's as kind of the same size. He's kind of the same size as Okuda and CJ Henderson. He's kind of the same size of both those guys.
Wow.
So, you know, size-wise, you know, it's just a matter of kind of learning how to play the NFL game and learning this defense. And, you know, if he's able to do that, then he can have an opportunity. But I would think 2 Florida State guys have an opportunity. But I think Peyton Wilson, you know, look, last year, I mean, the linebackers missed a lot of games.
Yeah.
You know, Denzel Perryman missed a few. And then, like, Cashman missed a few as they were starters. You know, then Christian early on, you know, maybe would start, but then play a whole lot until he kind of found his sea legs, if you will. So they had a lot of guys get banged up at linebacker. So, and that is the one thing, and I didn't mention this about Peyton Wilson. The medicals are going to be huge. And I don't know what the medicals are going to say. He had a lot of medical issues. The last couple of years at NC State, he didn't. And his play was incredible. And he runs in the 4-4 range. So, you know, Peyton Wilson is the kind of guy that I think you can play all over the field and do a lot of different things. So, but you know, going out and getting Azeez Al-Shaire, having Christian Harris, you know, Peyton Wilson doesn't have to start right away. He can learn at his kind of his own pace. And then, you know, see what ends up happening and which linebacker spot makes the most sense for him to fill. Mike Sam will figure out which one works, how he fits in. I think you have impact players on this roster, even if they're not starters.
Yeah.
And then obviously we'll see what happens with Diggs in the future, you know, at wide receiver. But Luke McCaffrey's the guy I want to get on the field. I was glad we were able to get him in 131. That was a really good pick.
He could be a gadget guy too for you because he's played
totally.
He's played quarterback totally. At a very high level. Yeah. I mean, he just switched over. So you can scheme some things up with him if you want to get frisky. So
anyways. Yeah, he's a fun player. It's so funny. I'll tell the McCaffrey story in some sense. I went to the Senior Bowl and I was kind of just asking as I was watching, because I didn't have a chance to watch Rice a whole lot this year. But I was watching him work and I was asking a couple people around me like, hey, what do you think of McCaffrey? You know, day 3. I mean, I asked a couple of scouts, asked somebody, Lance Zierlein, you know, well, and kind of the answer I got the across the board was, you know, he's kind of day 3. You know, he does some okay things. And I'm just watching him at the Senior Bowl, like, just get open and catch the ball. Get open and catch the ball. Then he goes to the combine. He runs 4.46, and you're like, okay, he just can catch the ball, and he can run 4.46, and he's a former quarterback, and he's smart, and he's a McCaffrey. Like, we got to look at this formula. This is a little different formula because – the guy I watched in the Senior Bowl is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And I know this is a wide receiver draft class that is just chock full of players. But if I can end up getting Luke McCaffrey at 131, get him in the 4th round, man, I got to feel great about that. Man, our 4th round picks are Jalen Wright, Luke McCaffrey, Jared Wiley.
It's weapons
Sign
for your
me
offense.
Up right now.
Weapons
Sign
for your
me
offense.
Up right now for that. Yeah.
Weapons for your offense at an affordable price. So, yeah, there you go.
There you go.
All right. John, it's always fun doing this with you. We'll do this again. One more time.
And we will guarantee 100% success because that's what happens with every single mock draft. That was fun. That's a really good exercise to kind of go through and just examine what might be out there, particular rounds, all that kind of stuff. But it's just fun to sit down and do that mock draft with Drew on In the Lab. All right, we get back. Let's go around the NFL. There's some news in particular. That opening game in Brazil, the Eagles have an opponent. Who is it? Well, it's an opponent of the Texans this year as well. So we'll talk about that. And then some next on Texans All Access. We got one final segment of this edition of Texans All Access, a Wednesday night edition. Appreciate you being with me, John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter.
For your Houston Texans, the Texans made a little bit of transaction news yesterday evening times when I saw it. The Texans have waived or released three players. Alex Bachman released. Maje Sanders, Josh Thompson were waived to, I think, bring the roster like 75, I think is what the roster is now, if I'm doing my math correct, 74, 75, somewhere in there. So Texans, obviously, with draft picks and undrafted free agents, if you do the math, say there's 75, nine draft picks as it sits right now, that's 84. You got six spots for undrafted free agents. So we'll see what the Texans are able to do over draft weekend. Now, I said that the opening game of the year was set for Brazil. Actually, I think that's the second game of the year. But either way, it's the first game in Brazil. And the Eagles that have been announced. The Eagles are going to play that game in Sao Paulo, Brazil. They now have an opponent. And that, the Green Bay Packers. Packers, Eagles, Friday, September 6th in Sao Paulo, Brazil, will play the first game ever in Brazil. So I really wanted to be in that game. I wanted to go to Brazil. Been to Mexico City. Been to London outside the United States for games. I don't think I ever went to Canada. I think the Bills were out of there by then. So, yeah, those are the two places we've been. So I was hoping to go to Brazil, but not going to happen this year. It's going to be the Green Bay Packers. And the Packers will end up hosting the Texans. We'll find out when. Probably a couple weeks into May. A couple weeks after the draft is about when that hits. And we'll see what that all means. I heard Landry and John talking about that today. And they're talking about what games they thought were going to end up being prime time. Here's the way I think about it. Whenever you think, oh, yeah, it'll be five. They've got to love the Texans. I usually subtract two. It's going to be five. I think it's three. That's the number for me. I do think the Bills will be one of those. I think the Chiefs game in Kansas City, first time that Mahomes and CJ would go toe-to-toe. And then my gut tells me the Cowboys. So those are the ones that I think end up being prime time. That Thanksgiving, be kind of nice to be up in Arlington to beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. That would be nice. So hopefully that happens. News out of Jacksonville, the Jaguars have gotten to a extension with Josh Allen, defensive end, 5 years. I believe it was $180 million. Was the number that I ended up seeing. That's a pretty salty number. Hopefully he lives up to it. I'll be honest, I just don't fear Josh Allen. Good game against us last time, but I just don't fear him. But the Jaguars needed to have him. They re-signed him and extended him, and away they go, and away we go. It's Area 45 next. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, appreciate you guys for being here with me. Appreciate Mark for stopping by, all of you for listening. Thank you, Drew. Great in the lab. We'll see you guys next time. And as always, go Texans.